The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's not only Saturday morning, it's Saturday morning in the year 2018.
Oh, you got it right.
I did. There were a few errors being tossed around last week about this time, and one of them was mine, but it just proves one thing. Time flies.
That is definitely true.
Anyway, it's 10 o'clock on the First Coast, and this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here live in the studio as always, and when I say always, I mean always, if we're allowed to do so. The only two times we've missed, we're wrapping up the last month of the third year now, he said, correcting himself from last week. We have only missed twice, and that was when there was a forced evacuation out of Jacksonville. So it's a record we're very proud of and trying to keep it up. So if you've been a regular listener and you're back, thanks so much. You're the people we do this for. But we're really happy for all you new people, too, whether you found us by accident or if we're told or whatever, to come in and listen to it and come in and talk to us at the office, and we'll talk more about that too. Well, we want to welcome everybody. Try to stick around for the hour. Freeze if you go outside anyway. So might as well just either sit in your car and let it run or turn on a radio or a computer inside. There are a few basic fundamental rules to this show, and the first rule of this show is callers go to the head of the line. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, gents. How are you doing today? Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, and same to you. We're doing great if you get over the chilly part.
Amen.
What's on your mind?
I'm retired. I draw mostly from an account, a brokerage account that I have, and I've spread the money over 25 different mutual funds that range the gamut. I'm as diversified as I can possibly be.
Okay.
I got a little nervous in mid-December and sold about half of what I was entitled to. And my question comes to the dividends and the interest income and capital gains and things of that nature, about a strategy of selling your mutual funds at certain times. So good times, bad times, what should you do, what shouldn't you do, et cetera.
It's easier to determine when not to buy than it is when to sell.
Right.
You don't want to buy a dividend. And with the gains in the markets this year, it has been there have been quite a lot of distributions that were pretty large. As far as selling them, the first question I would ask is why?
I just wanted to protect. The market was up 22%, and I just felt it might be time to pull back a little bit. I didn't sell everything. I sold half. I thought that was a prudent thing to do, and in retrospect, of course, it wasn't.
Well, you know, retrospect still, you're looking at it as you took some profits. I've never seen a bad profit. I've been in this business a long time. But when you did that, what you were telling yourself is that you're expecting the market to correct.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would probably do in your case is take at least half of that money and earmark it for not doing a darn thing with it until the market corrects. Because you know the market will correct. My question is, will it correct from 29 or 30,000, or will it correct from 25, 26,000? Mm-hmm. And anybody who wants to speculate on that is doing exactly that. They're speculating. So
yeah.
It's probably the toughest question of all. And one of the reasons that buy and hold as a strategy is so popular is because the hardest thing to convince somebody to do is to get back in the market when it's got a little acrophobia already. Mm-hmm. Now, it's so high, do I buy? Well, people are buying, but then again, there are people selling too. If I could give you a straightforward answer, I would. It's of course unfortunate that you did sell half of it, but that's, as I said, retrospect. So now I would design a way to convince yourself to get back in slowly.
Yeah, and just be careful on a couple of things. One good thing about selling in December is you probably missed out on a lot of capital gains distributions, so you saved yourself some taxes on that respect, although you did whatever your profit was you would have to pay on. But,
well, that's the other part of my question is, insofar as what becomes taxable. Let's assume that I sell a mutual fund on the 15th of December, and on the 16th of December, a dividend or capital gains or whatever is that based upon the lower investment figure, or a mixture of what I sold and what I held, et cetera?
Now, what happens if you sell on the 15th? And the dividend is paid on the 16th, or the ex-dividend date is the 16th. Then the next day, next market day, it'll open the exact number of pennies lower than what they paid out. So in theory, all you're going to get there is capital gains. Hopefully you've held those more than a year. You could actually come out better by selling that way. Most of the time it's just a wash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other thing to be careful of is don't buy the exact same fund within 31 days, because then the way the IRS treats that is as a wash, and you will actually regain your former cost basis on it, and you don't want to do that. So wait 31 days before you buy any of those funds that you sold.
Yeah, and you get your stepped up cost basis on the new shares. Now there was a provision in one of the tax packages, the tax proposals, that it was going to make you go on FIFO. First ones you bought had to be the first ones out. And what that would mean in a rising market is that everything you sold would be the maximum profit you've got in there. That did not happen. So if you're specifying to your custodian that you want this on average shares or last in, first out, they can generally do that. What I would do, I'd talk to your custodian and say, all those things I sold, can you change that over to LIFO for me? That'll minimize the profit you took, if you're going to be paying a lot of taxes this year. Otherwise, stick to average cost basis, and you're going to wash out in the end anyway. So it really depends on your personal tax situation.
But all that being said, the economy is pretty strong right now, and we'll get into that a little bit more later. And I do think there's still upside in this market. Will it materialize? I can't say for sure, but we're still fairly bullish on the market right now. And you could look at maybe going into other things that you weren't in before. It sounds like you're pretty diversified, but I don't know what you sold. Did you sell half of everything or just certain?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
What I did was put an equal amount into everything.
Okay.
And sold an equal amount of everything.
Gotcha.
Have you ever worked with an advisor?
Quite some time ago.
Okay. Well, if you want to just come in and talk about it with no obligation, we're easy to get hold of. And we'll tell you exactly how right after the break. But if you want to come in and chat about it and design a strategy for it, heck, you never know. Maybe we'll come up with something really brilliant.
All right, I'll hold on.
What part of town are you from, by the way?
Down in Green Cove Springs.
Oh, okay. Well, someday when it's beautiful for
Green
a drive.
Cove Springs.
Yeah, okay. Great. Well, I hope we did as well as we could answering the question. It's certainly not an easy one, but it's a very important one. And we appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot.
Take care. Happy New Year.
Okay.
That's a tough one.
It is. That's always the toughest question.
I teetered on the brink of doing some selling out, profit taking this year in my own account. I fortunately didn't wind up pulling the trigger, But I can sure sympathize with anybody who did.
It was so tempting.
Oh, man, it's scary out there, isn't it? Oh, well, anyway, right after the break, we'll get into what the market did this week and a bunch of other topics. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for listening. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized wave ventilation unit. Wave ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question for the week is brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 904-636-7888. The markets have been good, not just here, but around the world since the last election here. In fact, there are stock markets doing even better than ours. So worldwide, what country's stock market has performed the best throughout all of 2018?
Which is all four days.
That the there's been more action in 4 days than there usually are in 4 months.
No kidding.
That's the crazy part of this whole thing. Anyway, I promised we would tell you how to get in touch with us if you're interested in making an appointment. Adam can take it away.
Yeah, you can always find us online at www.vanweefinancial.com. And on our website, we do a lot of cool things there. We have a new video up that explains how we do what we do and what our process looks like. If you want to watch that, it's just a short 2-minute video. You can also book an appointment with us and just click on the book a meeting. And as always, our first hour consultation is free. There's no obligation to do business with us after that, only if there's a mutual interest. And we're not going to hound you, I promise. If it's a fit, it's a fit. If not, it's not. Or if you're not a technical internet type person, you can always call the office at 904-685-1505.
All right. And as you said, no salesman will call unless you ask us to. We salesmen? I guess we are. Everybody is.
Yeah.
Got your own
is.
Business, you're a salesman, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, this week, albeit only 4 days long, it was more fun than a human being has a right to have if you're in our business. And I would be the first one to say that most of our clients, you couldn't get the smiles off of their faces either at this point. We had a bunch of things, like the jobs reports, which we'll get into also, but the untalked about that happened this week, and Adam will talk about all the other things that happened, but the one that I never heard anybody talk about was the NASDAQ crossed 7,000 and kept going.
Not just crossed it, it blew past it.
And I was just reflecting with Adam over the break, 9 years ago, the NASDAQ was 1,268.
That's crazy.
And it's now 7,136. I should get out a calculator at the bottom of the hour and give you an annual return on that one. It's incredible. Anyway, tell us how much fun we had.
We had a lot of fun. It was a great week. The Dow went up 2.3%, the NASDAQ 3.4%, and the S&P came in at 2.6%. And as you mentioned, the only thing hotter than the U.S. markets were international markets. We saw a bunch of other countries gain over 4% during this 4 days of trading, which is nuts.
It's crazy.
And we've been pretty bullish on international markets. I've mentioned it several times over the last couple of months.
And we've been increasing percentages on our clients' portfolios to international too.
We have. And last year, international markets, a lot of them actually beat the U.S. markets, and we still think there's more room to run internationally than there is at home. So keep an eye on that. If you haven't allocated something to international stocks, I would look at that.
In fact, if anybody sold any of those after the 31 days, the first thing I would do is buy back my international component.
Yeah, just wait.
International stocks.
Yes, wait till the wash sale rules clear and then go back in. So outside of utilities, telecom, and real estate, the market gained pretty much across the board this week. Materials, energy, healthcare, and technology led the way up, gaining over 3% each. And the other thing that didn't fare as well was fixed income. Both long and short-term bonds saw a little bit of a dip, which, after a rate hike, not that surprising. And also, people are just taking money out of fixed income and putting it into stocks. So not too surprising. Another crazy sign, oil was the best performer out of all asset classes over the last 6 months, with the ETF USO, which tracks the price of oil, gaining over 30%. And full disclosure, I owned it up until this week and sold and made over 30% in about a year. So not bad.
Fuller disclosure. After calling them an idiot, I did the same thing 2 days later. we had a target of 60, and when it sits over 61 for a couple of days, it just seemed to me like you take a little shot at it and see if it doesn't pull back a little bit.
Yeah, that's that thing about having a plan. You have to stick to it, or else you're not, your plan is worthless if you don't actually execute it.
Yeah, if you say 60 and you wait till it gets to 62 and still don't sell,
and then you get a sharp pullback.
It goes to 50, and what are you going to do then?
Exactly. So the economic data once again kind of backed up the market rally, coming in with a very positive tilt. Only 4 out of 17 indicators missed their target, and the rest were either on target or better. The non-farm payrolls report was one of those that missed expectations, and it really wasn't a very good report. It wasn't a terrible report. It was just kind of a We didn't see the rise in hourly wages we were hoping for, and the labor force participation rate has just been very stubborn and staying the same. And a lot of that is demographics with baby boomers retiring. But still, we'd like to see that still moving in the right direction. And the other thing was the on the other side, the ADP report was much stronger than expected. So it actually came in at 250,000 versus an expected 190,000. So that looked really good.
And the ADP is only concerned with private employers. And if you get growth, that's where you want it.
Yeah,
that's where it turns into economic activity.
It's not unusual for those two reports to diverge over the short period, so month to month, but over time they generally track each other. So this could just be one of those one-offs, and you might even see it flip next month. You never know.
But ADP's got a little bit more of a hotline because they actually process payroll. So the day someone gets hired, their payroll goes up one. So their modeling system is based on information that's, by definition, more current than the federal government can do So it would surprise me quite a bit if the government one didn't at least equal or outdo the ADP next month.
The ISM manufacturing report, which dropped off pretty severely last month, it peaked in October. It showed a nice rebound this month from that. The expected reading was 58.2, and the actual was 59.7. The services side, however, did not fare as well. The reading also peaked in October, and now we've seen two straight months of declines, and the services sector is so much bigger than the manufacturing sector in this economy. So that's a little concerning, but a stronger number next month would really alleviate those concerns.
But remember, over all of this information that we're getting right now was the fact that that tax cut bill was not signed until the end of the data period.
Okay, so...
Yes, you're going to see reaction to that. Just think of the reaction we've seen to it. You talked about it a little bit last week. How many companies are doing how many things, spending how much money, giving bonuses to how many people.
It's
hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
And actually, there was a few more added this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
A lot of airlines and financial institutions, including Aflac, American Airlines, Bank of America, Boeing, Citizens, Nationwide, Southwest, U.S. Bancorp, and Wells Fargo all announced that they were going to do the $1,000 bonuses as well.
And guess what happens when you start injecting a couple more billion into payrolls? The first thing that happens is an average of probably 25% of it comes right back to the Treasury in taxes.
Yep.
Because it's all marginal income.
And then the other 75%, there's a very good chance it's going to get spent on something in the economy, which spurs more economic activity. So it really is a big boost for the economy.
The velocity of that money when it's put into private hands is about 2.5 versus government, where it's only about 1.5, which means this is going to have a tremendous impact on consumption. And when you're in a 70% consumer-driven economy, that is a good thing.
It's big numbers. Yeah. So auto sales had another strong month coming off their October highs, but still rebounded from a dip in November. And the one very small area of the economy that's still a little bit concerning is subprime auto loans. Those have been, the default rate on those has been ticking up, and it's not a huge number in terms of dollar value, but the concerning thing is that it kind of mirrors the subprime housing. So just keep an eye on that. It's not a huge warning signal, but it's something to keep an eye on.
There is one vehicle, though, that they watch very carefully.
The F-150.
Yep. And boy, did they have a year.
And the reason for that is that small business owners tend to buy F-150s, and they have been selling like crazy. Yeah. So that's a really good sign that small business is doing quite well.
You saw that 2 months ago, I think, in the household survey, the BLS household jobs survey. It had a tremendous bump, several hundred thousand. And those are people who are now putting themselves out there and looking for jobs to bid on, you know, whether they're home improvement or whatever. And they're the people who buy F-150s when they have an income.
Yep, definitely.
It's a good thing.
So lastly, the bullish sentiment increased this week, which isn't too surprising considering what was happening in the market.
No, and I'm disappointed nonetheless.
Yeah, and bearish sentiment really decreased. So
that disappoints me even more.
The contrarian in me thinks that's a little bit more scary than anything else we've talked about today.
Yeah, we need a good couple hundred point down day. We'll get them all out of there.
Yeah, that's true. That would probably turn it around in a heartbeat. So. Yeah, that it was overall a great week, especially if you were invested internationally, and not so bad if you were invested here at home either.
4 days, four records.
Yeah, can't complain.
What do you think next week?
Momentum? Not even going to venture a guess. All the momentum
Chicken.
Is pointing up, but you just never know.
No, you really don't. But it was fun. I'm glad it happened. I think there's a lot more to run, but I would never predict a straight line going anywhere in the stock market.
No, not at all.
That's a fool's mission for sure.
Another interesting thing, volatility actually decreased this week after being the lowest it's just about ever been last year.
Crazy,
so who knows?
It's getting to the point where the VIX is starting to go up again just because the up days are so high.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nuts. All right, after the break, Adam's going to break down some of the big financial stories of 2017 and we'll take a look at what really happened. And a lot of it will probably be surprising to a lot of people. A lot of news watchers, maybe it won't be. Then I got a bunch of little things I want to wrap up, and I want to talk about some lunatics who write on websites. You know how much I love that stuff. I can't wait. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, Talk Radio, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump wants people to know that he is, in his words, really smart and actually a very stable genius. He's using a series of tweets to describe himself in more favorable terms after his mental fitness was called into question by a new book. It's his latest pushback against that new book that portrays him as a leader who does not understand the weight of the White House. The administration is providing its most detailed blueprint yet of how the president hopes to carry out a signature campaign pledge, that of building a wall on the Mexican border. The administration proposes spending $18 billion over a 10-year span to significantly extend the wall. A U.S. official says Customs and Border Protection is calling for 316 miles of additional barrier by the year 2027, bringing total coverage to nearly half the border. At first, U.S. taxpayers would foot the bill. This is SRN News.
Parents, it's that time again to begin thinking about your children's school for the next year. Trinity Christian Academy is inviting you and your students in grades K-3 through the 12th grade to an open house this Thursday, January 11th at 6 p.m. You'll discover why more than 1,000 families in Jacksonville choose Trinity for their Christian private school education. With accredited advanced curriculum, caring and qualified teachers, and a beautiful campus, TCA will prepare your students, no matter what age, for success. In addition to quality academics, Trinity Christian Academy offers student clubs, honor societies, drama, fine arts, music, technology in the classroom, and championship athletic programs. Don't miss the next Trinity Christian Academy open house this Thursday, January 11th at 6 p.m. Trinity Christian Academy's beautiful campus is located at 800 Hammond Boulevard near I-10 and 295 and online at tcajax.org.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. With Christmas behind us in 2018 here, the last thing you want to hear is somebody trying to sell you something. That's why at Underwoods, we'd like to stop and just say thank you to all the people that came in our stores over the last year. Whether you bought from us or not, we want to thank you for stopping by and giving us the chance to help. You know, in North Florida, there are a lot of people trying to sell you jewelry, but at Underwoods, we look at it differently. Because we consider it an honor for somebody to come in and just give us that chance to help. And if we do a good job, we might get a chance to serve again. Having served North Florida since 1928, all of us here understand what a customer really gives us during that visit to Underwoods, their trust. And it's up to us to do everything we can to keep it. So on behalf of everybody on the Underwood team, thanks again for coming into our stores. And we wish each of you a Happy New Year.
WBOB. Every day we keep you updated with up-to-the-minute details on traffic around town. We've got you covered, no matter where you might be. Clear, quick, and precise for your commute, even on the weekends. And when you see a problem on the road, call us 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. Traffic updates when you need them. WBOB. The answer. Stuck in traffic? WBOB has the answer.
And use of extra caution on Butler Boulevard West at San Pablo. That's the location of an unconfirmed object in the road. Partly cloudy today and tonight. They're looking for a high up to about 49 today, overnight low 34, mostly sunny and breezy tomorrow with a high of 53. Could cause a wind chill factor around 28 degrees. Got a current heat wave going on here. 40 degrees at AM 600 WBOB.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the phone is ringing, so I've just got a couple of quick mentions. The Mega Millions lottery was won by a Florida person down in the Newport Richey area. It's about $450 million. And I have two things I'd like to say. First, if you're listening, don't start telling people until you do B, which is?
Call us.
Absolutely. We have some experience in this kind of thing. That's a lucky part of the state, folks. You should be moving over there. Not from here, though. Rule number one, good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're wonderful. How are you?
Great. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
I have a question.
Okay.
I have a 401k value of $1 million.
Okay.
Okay. It's currently invested in, and its income for the past several years has been around $55,000.
Okay.
Okay. That's driven by dividend stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And should I give you several of what they are?
Not necessary.
Do you own the individual stocks, or do you own ETFs that own dividend stocks?
No, they're individual stocks.
Okay.
Okay. What is the question after?
my question is, am I being conservative or probably a little bit aggressive? I'm 77 years old, and I'm always open for suggestions.
Okay, well, let's start right at the beginning. First off, you said it's in a 401k.
That's correct.
We can take taxes off the table in this discussion.
Yes,
that's
sir.
A wonderful thing. Because when you're sitting on a pile of highly appreciated stocks like that, the last thing you want to do is trigger taxes to the point where you're going to lose a lot of your account value should you decide to do something. And so we can put that aside and just talk about the generalities. Every group of individual stocks carries more risk than a similar group of exchange-traded funds and mutual funds. Simple diversification. So you can make more money with individual stocks, assuming you're a good picker and you have buy-sell parameters and all that. In other words, if you're really good at it and pay a lot of attention to it. If you want to go more on cruise control, we highly recommend diversifying into ETFs and funds. So if you want to cut your risk, you would start, you'd probably group those into their basic asset class and then start unwinding your individual stock positions and getting back in using the exchange-traded funds and the mutual funds. That would reduce your risk and hopefully not do much else for your product mix if it's working for you. The good news, and Adam will back me on this one, right now dividend-paying stocks are called value stocks, and value's been out of favor for most of last year. It has turned. Value stocks, now dividend stocks, are very hot right now. It is a wonderful time to be an owner and an investor in that arena. So a little bit, actually the whole thing basically is, how active do you want to be in your own account? Or are you using an advisor who's helping you with this? And do you want to mitigate some risk, which might cost you a little bit of return, and it might not? It's hard to say without looking at it. So you have to make some decisions. You want to add to that, Adam?
Yeah, I'd like to know, excuse me, what percentage of your account is made up by these dividend stocks?
Okay, and my goal in this process, because I've been doing it for a while, is to generate enough income to not put any pressure on the capital.
Okay.
Which to me makes, you know, business sense, because I own or have owned a consulting company, International.
Oh, good.
And, you know, I'm always my overriding goal is to say, okay, I need to withdraw like this coming year, based on the money in the 401k. I've got to withdraw approximately $50,000.
Right. It requires minimum distribution.
Yes, and I'm generating, based on the dividends on these particular stocks, enough to cover that withdrawal.
Have you not had stock appreciation, too?
Yes.
Okay. So we work on a total return basis, mm-hmm. which means the appreciation of your assets and the dividends and interest all put to one. And what we care about more than anything is that total return is adequate for whatever your purpose is, including required minimum distribution. But I don't like to discount the possibility of getting the capital gains in there, although you can't ever get a capital gain in a 401k because when it comes out, it's ordinary income. That's something you give up when you go into the tax-deferred account. But I'd say, what, a style difference? If you want to become less active and either have somebody help you manage it, or if you want to just put it on cruise control yourself, I would start looking to diversify into the ETFs and mutual funds. If you're happy the way it is and it's working for you, why change?
Yeah, and then also when you're using a dividend stock portfolio the way you are, you have to be less concerned about the price of the underlying asset. You're more concerned about the income it's generating to cover those RMDs. And if you're happy with that strategy and it's working for you, which I'm going to guess it has been for several years now, then it's a good strategy. I don't see anything wrong with it. But it does leave you open to a little bit of risk from a lack of diversification, because a lot of those high-yielding dividend stocks tend to be large-cap value-type stocks. And so that is one specific type of investment. And without mitigating that with some growth or some fixed income and other areas, that is, if that particular sector of the market takes a downturn, you could see a loss in value of your 401k. But if you're still making enough income to cover your RMDs and you're happy with that, then it's not a bad strategy. It's just not mitigating all of your risk.
A question. Are you married?
Yes.
Okay. And your wife is your beneficiary, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. Is she involved in the market?
Other than what her 401k is, which I've managed, no, she's not. Matter of fact, I've helped her walk through, if I pass away, just to stay where it is and just let it continue to generate the income for her, because the next person in line is my daughter.
Okay.
And so that's kind of the way I'm working it out. And, one of the key stocks that I have in my portfolio is a pipeline stock.
Mm-hmm.
And that pipeline stock has performed extremely well. And, for me, oil price, because they've got a ticker on their pipelines. And I don't care whether the oil is $10 a barrel or $100 a barrel, those guys are still making their money.
Right, the oil services, we like to hold both. During rising oil prices, we like to hold things that are dependent on the price of oil, and all the time I like holding oil services because it's independent of the price of oil. It's all on volume, and our volume's going up, especially now with Trump's latest edict to open up offshore drilling. Our pipelines are going to be stuffed here pretty soon, and we're going to have new pipelines to stuff. So I think it's a wonderful asset class right now, as long as you're not too big in it. I don't like to see anything over 10% of your account value in an individual holding. The reason I asked about your family is if your wife is not involved in it and you want to start cushioning the blow should you pass away for her, you should start diversifying some of it where it would be closer to be on cruise control. Or, we make a living doing this kind of thing. So I would say if you're interested in having her just say, if anything happens to me, I can't do this anymore, call so-and-so. And if you're going to do that, you should prearrange the so-and-so, which is my backdoor way of saying, come and see us anytime you want to. It won't cost you anything.
But Yeah, your strategy is pretty sound, I think. I don't see anything wrong with it as long as you're involved and willing to take on that responsibility. So if it's working for you, I would stick with it right now.
Yeah, you've been successful. Rich people stay rich by doing what got them rich, and poor people stay poor by doing what got them poor.
That's right.
You're getting rich.
Hey guys, I appreciate it. I love you. I like your show.
Thanks so much.
And you may get a call from me, so thank you.
All right, thanks. Happy
appreciate
New
it.
Year. Bye-bye.
Yeah, happy New Year.
Bye-bye. That's a great call. Okay, we'll talk a little more when we get back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get 6 free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're 2 payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-933-0939 for your free CD. Call 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this section is sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance because things will start growing, believe it or not, if you stick your nose out the door very, very soon. Call Troy at 662-9794. And we're going to welcome the new year with Mr. Marshall. How are you?
Hey, Marshall.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. You ask a question about deductibility on mortgages.
Yes.
And I shared a LinkedIn article from a guy named Jamie Hopkins, who's a professor with the American College, teaching a lot of CFP classes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he said it very well, but I'll try to summarize. One, if the money that you have in a mortgage that you refinance was used to buy the house, meaning the mortgage on your house today you used to buy your mortgage and you now go refinance that mortgage, those dollars will be a deductible item.
Okay.
Whereas if you use the money to go buy a house, that mortgage, and that is neither reverse nor forward mortgages. It has to do with what you were doing with the dollars.
Okay.
And I thought it was really well put together, and I've seen that several points, but Jamie wrote it, and it was after the first of the year. I'm going to say that's a good source. Another item he mentioned that I think a few people use, but many don't, is the idea of the qualified charitable deduction.
Right. Which is permanent.
From your IRA to your church,
yep,
or your charity or whatever. Because I started playing around with the taxes, and you got to have a lot of deductions to hit the standard.
Yes, I agree.
A lot more
than most people will have. That part of what they said was absolutely true. I just wish they would have explained themselves when they took away the personal exemptions when they increased that standard deduction, but they didn't seem like they felt the need.
Well, I mean, the net effect is that it's almost no change if you,
except for big families.
Well, but you get a $2,000 per kid
unless you make too much money,
right?
But then
that's a lot of money now.
Yeah, and your exemptions went away under the old rules anyway. So,
right,
what you're looking at is something of a push. But you're right, Marshall. Most people I know, and in fact, I was sneaking up on that where I wasn't sure in any given year that I was going to be able to itemize anymore. So there are some tricks you can play to do that. But most people are going to be in the standard deduction mode, which is a little scary long run. If you're like I am and you think any government that can do that can then raise your rate. But that's me and my inherent paranoia when you're talking about government.
And it again gets around to the idea of planning and needing to have some expert advice in planning.
Yes.
Because
agreed.
You may be able to adjust your contributions and your other items such that one year you're taking standard, the next year you're itemizing.
Timing charity is a big deal.
And that brings in the issue of the reverse mortgage interest deduction that you were talking about.
Yep.
That can also complement it. So there's a lot of things to look at in there.
Have you emailed me that? Did you say you emailed that?
I put it to LinkedIn, and we're hooked up on that.
I'll find
it.
Yeah,
I can find it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if y'all have read too many things from Jamie, but he and Wade Fowle were kind of like the two guys at the American College that he is so intense, whereas Wade is more like Wally Cox. And I just, for some reason, like his graphics.
You're showing your age now,
that.
Boy.
I get that, you know? It's like, some of us need it explained, S-P-L-A-I-N-E-D.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then we've got people like Adam around who get it right out of the box, just reading the material. So,
My supposition on the reverse mortgage was that there's now more reason than ever to consider reverse mortgaging your home when you are ready to retire or whatever. You're not going to be itemizing deductions anyway. Why not just reverse mortgage it? If you're not going to get a deduction, don't make a payment. That was my theory.
Absolutely.
So if your business doesn't take a upswing, it's because none of us are trying hard enough.
We've had a number of rule changes.
Mm-hmm.
Now it goes back to your old original conversation we had.
Right.
It's a purchase situation.
Uh-huh.
And I honestly think where a lot of people in your world are kind of missing is the excitement to your retiring client of going from the rusty, crusty old house that they've had for a long time into a newer house that they had less of that equity that they had to invest to get it and not have a payment.
Right.
And then they can take some of that equity that they got and put it in their retirement account.
Absolutely.
That combination is my focus for this year with the planning community, because what we went through, I mean, we're still pinching ourselves. I mean, it was like, oh, wow, why didn't we do this sooner?
Yeah.
But
can't do anything about that. But you're absolutely right. I appreciate it. We will find that. As you probably heard last week, my goal for this year is to learn as much as I can about this tax law as soon as I can learn it so I can be a better tax planner for people not only on the radio but also in the office, clients and potential clients. And it all pays in. So, well, I appreciate it. And do you want to take a shot at the trivia? What country's stock market is the best so far in 2018? Oh, must have lost it.
Germany? Yeah.
Wait.
Which one?
Germany?
You're cutting out, but no, it doesn't even rhyme with that. Right. Thanks. What Marshall was talking about before the reverse mortgage, which we will cover on and off over the next year, he was talking about the QCD, qualified charitable deduction. When you are 70 and a half years old, Uncle Sam makes you take a required minimum distribution from your qualified retirement accounts. And what happens in a normal distribution is that you get it, and you'll get a 1099, and it comes out as ordinary income, adds on to the last dollar you make. This goes over and above it, and you're taxed at your marginal tax rate. Then some people who are very charitable will write a check to a charity, and once they've determined their pre-tax income, they will also deduct that money that goes to the charity. And the limit on that was 50% of your taxable income can be reduced by charitable contributions. Well, nowadays, with so few people being able to itemize deductions, because the charity is an itemized deduction, there is a quicker, slicker way to take your required minimum through a QCD. That is where your custodian of your retirement account writes a check directly to your qualified charity. And qualified charity is very important because it has to qualify for a tax deduction, and you'll find that on the IRS website. It used to be called Publication 78. It's now called the EO list, Eligible Organization. Same thing. You just find out if it works. But what happens then on your taxes is nothing. You do not claim the extra income. You do not try to take the deduction. So if you find that your charitable contributions from 2018 going forward are not deductible because the standard deduction went so high, and if you're 70 and a half years old or more and you have to start taking those things, so a charitably minded person will use the QCD directly, and you'll offset that income as if you were taking itemized deductions.
Yeah, that's a great way to reduce your tax liability at the end of the year for those of you that can't itemize.
Yeah, it's a bit complicated, I know, but
It's actually very simple. It's hard to explain, but once you realize that it's simply a phone call to your custodian or your planner, it is a very simple transaction to conduct.
I've been saying this on and off for the last few weeks, but I wish people understood more about their tax forms, and I would encourage everybody this year, as you are getting your taxes done, whether you're doing them yourself or whether you're going through a tax person, CPA or an H&R Block or whatever, understand what goes into the computation of your taxes. The more you know about that, the more clever you can be with your planning, and if you get some help with that. Generally speaking, people pay too much because they don't understand the way taxes are done. And the fundamentals have not changed here, but a lot of details changed here, and some of them you can take advantage of. All right, well, we've got a lot of undone things, and I love that because that means we were busy. Starting in April, I'll talk more about this as time goes on, you're going to get a new Medicare card that's not going to have your Social Security number on it. Isn't that wonderful?
Finally.
You got to carry that around in your wallet, and if you get your wallet stolen, they've got your Social Security number. It's ridiculous. The stock market that's done the best in 2018 is not the United States. It is Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. How about that? And there's been a few other good ones, too. Don't go anywhere. We'll pick up next week almost without taking a breath. We'll see you then. This is the Ben Wee Financial Hour.